Before we start today's episode, we want to give a general content and trigger warning. This episode discusses personal struggles with mental health and briefly mentions suicide. If you or anyone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis or even contemplating suicide, call the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988 or visit their website at 988lifeline.org. Also, we have posted a list of mental health support resources in our show notes on our website.
Hello. Welcome to Healthy Disruptions, a podcast about health and community in Southern California.
This season's theme is titled Narrating the Pandemic, Collective Reflections Through the Disruption.
We will talk about the lived experiences of individuals surviving and thriving in Southern California through the COVID-19 pandemic.
Thank you for joining us for your healthy dose of disruption. Stay with us.
Since March 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic has put a strain on almost every part of our lives. Around the world, people have had to manage changing financial situations, uncertainty concerning their jobs and livelihood, caring for children and other relatives, as well as countless other everyday life disruptions. One thing that has been affected over the past few years that sometimes get overlooked is mental health. Everyone has emotions, thoughts, experiences, and potential stressors, which, like everything else in our lives, have been affected by persistent upheavals thanks to COVID-19.
According to the World Health Organization, there has been a 25% increase in prevalence of anxiety and depression around the world since the beginning of the pandemic. This has led 90% of countries to include mental health support services in their COVID-19 response plans. According to the National Alliance on Mental Health, in early 2021, 46.1% of adults in California reported symptoms of anxiety or depression. 21.9% were unable to get needed counseling or therapy.
Increased social isolation, economic instability, and the fear of contracting COVID have all worked to put a strain on mental health. In today's episode, we will discuss how members of our community understand their mental health in light of the pandemic, strategies for managing stress and anxiety, and we will speak with a licensed therapist from the Coachella Valley about their experiences providing care for their clients during this time. We are Joshua.
I'm Irani.
I'm Catherine.
And this is Healthy Disruptions.
Stay with us.
I am Joshua Liashenko, an anthropologist and researcher in Riverside.
I am Amairani Ramos, a resident and researcher in the Coachella Valley.
I am Catherine Rodriguez, a resident and researcher in Riverside.
As we begin, let's talk a little bit about mental health. Joshua, what have you noticed or experienced about mental health during the pandemic?
Well, I've heard people talking about dealing with anxiety for the first time in their lives and how taking extraordinary measures to stay safe and not risk infection often provides a sense of security. Stress and anxiety provokes different reactions in everyone. And for people typically unaccustomed to mental health challenges, figuring out ways to navigate life promotes a sense of safety and control. I know people who have set up shoe disinfectant stations outside their homes, have decided to only go buy groceries at certain times of day to avoid being in crowds, and have limited contact with family and friends outside their home in accordance with past physical distancing guidelines. How about you, Amirani?
I think my experience was very similar. For the first couple of months, I was living with my grandparents and I saw how afraid they were of contracted COVID and they completely stopped going out. I was also afraid of contracted COVID, so I stayed at home with them. For groceries, we would go only once a week and we were pretty much isolated most of the time. I did see how it was affecting our mental health too. My grandmother, for example, would go outside to the backyard and do some gardening, feed her chickens, clean things around, anything to keep her occupied. Catherine, what have you experienced?
Well, just like you guys, I can relate to that adjustment and the impacts on my mental health during the pandemic. But I think that for a lot of us, mental health was affected by the small changes that you guys shared, like changes to the daily routine, to fundamental changes such as losing a loved one to COVID-19. I know we will discuss more and hear real stories, but I think it's important to shed some light about the loss and the grief that we've all experienced during this pandemic and how it impacted our well-being. During this time, I realized that I'm not the only one going through this grief journey. A recent study I came across during my search for answers stated that approximately 9 surviving Americans will lose a grandparent, a parent, sibling, spouse, or child due to the virus, which means the number of people recovering from loss in this pandemic is just greater than we can imagine. And for me, this episode was just so difficult to work on, but something I consider so needed, especially because the main purpose of this project was to give a story behind all those numbers so that we can elevate the voices of real people experiencing real losses and being affected by mental health issues. Raising awareness is just the first step, and that's why I was so happy that in this episode, we got to hear from a therapist that's on the ground doing the work that's needed in this recovery journey for our community. Joshua, please tell us more about that interview.
Yeah, thank you for saying all of that, Catherine. And I think that this will resonate with a lot of our listeners. We had the opportunity to speak with Jacob Rostovsky, a licensed marriage and family therapist who lives and works in Palm Springs. He specializes in mental health and social support for trans and non-binary people living throughout Southern California through his nonprofit organization, QueerWorks. As a therapist, Jacob has an on-the-ground perspective of mental health challenges facing folks throughout the region. And he graciously agreed to provide insight from his practice. In your experience, could you comment on the general state of mental health during the pandemic, especially among clients in your practice?
The general state of mental health during the pandemic is very polarized. On one hand, obviously, a lot of people are experiencing depression, anxiety, thoughts of loneliness. They're experiencing a lot of these feelings for the very first time, which is also scary and new. But on the opposite side, there's been a lot of focus around mental health. And so this focus has actually been helping people who have already been experiencing mental health symptoms, or negative mental health symptoms prior to the pandemic. It's been offering a lot more resources and opportunities to talk about the state of mental health. So in some instances, it's actually been helpful for individuals because they're now able to access resources and a lot of low cost and free resources too.
Could you speak a little bit to the state of mental health among people living in the Coachella Valley during the pandemic?
The state of mental health around individuals in Coachella Valley is very unique because there's a lot of resources out there for individuals who are over 65 or between the ages of 12 and 24, but there aren't a lot of accessible mental health resources for everyone from 25 to 64. And so when you are unable to access resources, especially with the population I work with the LGBTQ population, when you're unable to access resources that are affirming for your identity, it's really difficult. So out here in the Coachella Valley, yes, we also experience a lot of homelessness, right? A lot of issues around mental health there too. So it's just, I hate to say we're not in a very good place right now, when it comes to mental health, access, resources, treatment, and symptoms in the valley.
You mentioned earlier about the expanded resources because of the pandemic, and I'm assuming you're talking about teletherapy. Could you speak on your experiences with providing teletherapy to your clients?
Teletherapy has really expanded through the pandemic. No one knew really what teletherapy or even telehealth was prior to the pandemic. And now it's everywhere. And a lot of therapists are actually like giving up their offices to solely focus on teletherapy. In my experience, it's been extremely helpful and beneficial because, especially with my population, we can access therapy in a very safe and affirming environment. We don't have to worry about leaving the house or if we're trans and worried about, you know, something happening to us because of the way that we look. We could be in our house, right? In our bedroom, safe, have our animals with us, have our stuffed animals, our snuggies, you know. It's a very positive thing to experience. And then it's also very easy to access. Everyone has access to phones now. Even if you're homeless, there's services that give you free phones. So teletherapy's just been really, really beneficial.
Have there been any specific challenges that you faced providing teletherapy?
Some challenges that I've faced providing teletherapy definitely involve, having to do with attention span and having to do with feeling connected to a client. While we feel connected by talking, there's just something a little bit more about that physical one-on-one interaction, right? Even though we're not touching our clients, we're still like in the same room with them. We can feel their energy. Sometimes our clients get distracted by something that's in their room or if they're on their computer and there's a text message, right? It's not as easy to turn off the outside world when you're in teletherapy.
And lastly, what are your hopes for the future in terms of providing therapy in the region, especially for your population? What are your hopes for the future in navigating this current stage of the pandemic as a therapist?
I have a lot of hopes for the future as a therapist and navigating sort of the state that we're in. But the one that I really wish and to see is that it's accessible for individuals to become therapists, to become mental health workers, to work within the community, who identify within the communities. Because when we have people of lived experience, it brings this more rich, in-depth, and also I feel like it helps with treatment. So I really hope that now that we have ways to go to school online and to afford things, that we see more therapists coming up in this region.
And one more question, I know that I said lastly a minute ago, but if people wanted, someone listening to this podcast right now who is LGBTQ and lives in your service area, and you mentioned Riverside and Los Angeles counties, how could they potentially access resources?
If you're LGBTQ and out here in the Valley, a really great way to access resources would be to contact either the Coachella Valley LGBTQ Center. They have really great therapists, or DAP Health. They also have really great therapists. And if you're trans and non-binary, you can reach out to us, QueerWorks, www.queerworks.org. We provide completely free therapy to trans and non-binary individuals. If you fall within the other letters of the acronym, you can also reach out to us and we'll do our best to pair you or find you with a resource as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Of course, no problem.
We now want to explore perspectives from the community regarding mental health. Many of the stories shared today emerged from the early months of the pandemic. We feel that by revisiting these early experiences, we can show how many of us were struggling and dealing with mental health in similar ways, because we're all collectively going through similar circumstances. We also hope to give listeners a chance to reflect on their lives since March 2020. It's also important to remember that while many people share these stories dealing with isolation, anxiety, depression, and fear, they also demonstrated a great amount of strength and perseverance.
Well, let's just go back and talk about something that most of us had to deal with during the spring of 2020, being at home for the first time. Stress and sadness due to social isolation and feelings of cabin fever were commonly reported among members of our community. I think the three of us can count ourselves among the masses of people who also struggle with the constancy of being indoors. Serious concerns such as fears of unreported domestic abuse and people struggling with addiction and substance abuse while stuck at home were mentioned by participants in our study. Also, the stress associated with changes to the normal social interactions also proved to be common among people we spoke with in 2020. For example, not being able to speak with people in person, like coworkers, professors, got all worsened feelings of isolation. Everyday interactions that we all typically take for granted were transformed into Zoom calls and emails almost entirely overnight. A Pomona resident reflecting on his struggles with always being at home said,
Yeah, I think staying at home affects someone a lot. You're just at home all the time. Sometimes you're four wall getting cabin fever, so that affects me a little bit. Yeah, and worrying about my family in the future, you know, money, businesses, stuff like that worries me.
Beyond the toll of isolation, many community members also discussed fears and anxiety of catching COVID. The daily barrage of statistics, case numbers, death rates, and concerns of lasting effects for the still not fully understood long COVID added a terrifying dimension which took its toll on the mental health and well-being of millions. One purpose of this project was to highlight stories of lived experience and humanity that often hide behind the numbers that fuel these headlines. As cases and deaths skyrocketed, something we still see today, the impact on people's lives and their mental health was far too overlooked, especially in the spring and summer of 2020. A resident of Bermuda Dunes in the Coachella Valley shared her fears of contracting COVID while completing everyday tasks such as buying groceries. She said,
I just feel like this is never going to end, and it's scary and it's stressful, but more scary. Like, you just live in fear to go anywhere, because you don't know where you're gonna catch it. Anywhere I go, I always think I'm gonna go get this virus. And like, even if I just go, let me see, grab something, some groceries, I always think, oh, this lady that's behind me, she's coughing, she's gonna give me the virus. So, you know, I just don't feel secure anywhere I go.
And while these participants shared with us their fears, anxiety, and depression during the pandemic, others shared with us their coping mechanisms. A resident from Monrovia shared with us that she's still learning to take time for herself with activities such as journaling and reading. She says,
things that I was working on with my therapist prior to the pandemic in regards to my anxiety is she was like telling me how I needed to learn to take time out of my week to do things like for fun and to do things just for me. Because I spend a lot of time working, doing school, doing chores, and it feels like this never-ending loop. So she was like, no. You have to take you time and make time to do nothing, essentially. So I've been working on that and then found on that. I mean, I've always loved writing. In college, the first time around, I did a lot of creative writing. So I found it myself kind of doing some journaling, some creative writing. That's a release for me. I really actually love that.
While sometimes these strategies are viewed merely as coping mechanisms for getting by or persevering through difficult moments, we all know that the pandemic has lasted longer than a single moment. For many of the community members we talked to, as well as ourselves, our coping strategies have transformed into parts of everyday life. Instead of coping, we're learning about ourselves and developing ways to adapt to our new normal.
Managing my personal mental health during the current stage of the pandemic here in late 2022 involves being vigilant of changing circumstances and being consistently amendable. While I have general anxiety about contracting COVID, being vaccinated and knowing so many people have tested positive and have now recovered, I feel less anxious than I did in 2020. For me, being adaptable means testing regularly, especially before attending gatherings, wearing a mask when I am in close proximity to people in public, and checking in with friends about their health before making plans.
And for me, my mental health definitely declined during the pandemic, especially during the lockdown. As many others, the isolation was just tough. I think watching the news every day and checking on the number of cases in my county was not helping at all. So one of the best decisions I made was to avoid news for a while. I think it's important to acknowledge when you need to make changes in your life for your mental health. I also started teletherapy, and oh my gosh, I swear talking to someone specialized and helping people with their mental health has a huge, huge impact. My therapist helped me work through my emotions and helped me understand that it is okay to not be okay. But if it wasn't because I was forced to do telehealth or virtual everything, I don't think I would have trusted teletherapy as much. Now I trust it. I know it works. But I also know that getting professional mental health is a huge privilege and not everyone could afford it.
Just like you, Amirani, during this time, I was also able to use telehealth for therapy, online support groups, and podcasts, just like this one, were important tools in this recovery journey. However, like you said, not a lot of people get access to these resources for a variety of reasons aside from being able to afford it. Some people don't have access to the internet, or they don't know how to use a phone, or simply they don't know these things exist. And I think that's something that we cannot forget to mention in this episode, to look at the bigger picture and to raise awareness.
As our episode about mental health and the pandemic comes to a close, we hope our conversations and the stories we presented bring awareness to all who listen. We also hope that if you are struggling with your mental and emotional health due to the pandemic or for any other reason, that this episode reminds you that you are not alone. We have provided a list of mental health resources in the show notes on our website, healthydisruptions.buzzsprout.com.
Thank you for joining us, and tune in next time for another episode of Healthy Disruptions.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Disruptions.
Thanks to Vince Barra from Belzar Music for the intro and outro music.
This podcast was produced by the Center for Health Disparities Research at the University of California, Riverside, in collaboration with the researchers from the anthropology departments at Cal Poly Pomona and UC Riverside.
Content was developed by our research team in collaboration with loved ones, friends, and neighbors.
The podcast is funded by a grant from the University of California Humanities Research Institute.
For more information, you can also visit our website at healthdisparities.ucr.edu.
We'll see you next time for some more healthy disruptions.